shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O ancient of days.
Blessing and honor.
Blessing and honor. Glory and power
be unto you.
Be unto the ancient of days.
From every nation.
From every nation. All of creation. Bow before the ancient of days.
Every tongue.
Every tongue in heaven, heaven. Shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God. Your kingdom shall not pass away, O ancient of days.
Your
kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing to the ancient of days.
For none can compare.
For none can compare to your matchless works. Sing to, sing to the ancient of days.
Every tongue.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne.
In
worship you'll be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O ancient of
give him glory. Give it to him, all of it. All the honor. All the praise. For he is worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Father God, we speak to you this morning. We say, have your way in our midst. May none of us live the same. Speak to our hearts. Affect our lives through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We may take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is speaking to us about preaching, teaching, and healing. Hallelujah. Our key text or golden text will be found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we also read from Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we also read from 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for whosoever committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. Now someone will ask, wow, that means I'm from the devil? Whoever sins and practices sin, makes a practice of sin, hallelujah, amen, is of the devil. He that committed sin is of the devil. Why do I say it? Because the Bible says it.
That's right.
And for the devil sinned from the beginning. The first personality ever to sin was Satan, the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. After that, he led a third of the angels to sin against God and to fall. And then we also have those who fell and did some horrible things that I don't want to get into now. Very horrible things on earth. Hallelujah. One told the other, there were a number of angels, and the leader told them to swear that we are all going to do this terrible thing before God. So we must all be in agreement and swear to each other so that one would, because it's going to be a very harsh punishment, but we're willing to do what we needed to do to get it. Hallelujah. Those angels too are there, and they swore and all did it. And they are in chains of darkness, reserved till judgment. Those are separate ones. Hallelujah. But Satan started all of it. He who that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. So it means that when Jesus was on earth, he was preaching, teaching, healing. Hallelujah. And preaching, teaching, healing, you realize in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth to the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. So preaching, teaching, healing is doing good. Amen. Glory to God. I said preaching, teaching, healing is doing good. And preaching, teaching, healing is healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Amen. Also, preaching, teaching, healing is destroying the works of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. So we ask ourselves, why did God have to preach, teach, heal? So simple. One of the pastors who was pastoring in Iowa in the past had members who were having problems. And they asked him for help, for prayer. He prayed for them, but he told them that I'll give you one medicine, and that medicine is guaranteed because I've used that medicine on a regular basis and it's always worked. What is it? Quiet time, read your Bible, pray, and God will deal with it. It was too simple for them, so they left. They left the church. But this person, this same pastor, he had hypertension, and the Bible says that my word is medicine to your bones. He listened, he read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, and he was healed of hypertension. Wow. Just from reading the word. And many problems solved. So it's that simple. So why did Jesus spend his time preaching, teaching, healing? He spent his time preaching, teaching, healing because that is the maximum good. That is the highest level of wisdom.
That's right.
Praise God, wisdom. That's the highest level of wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't be any wiser than God. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the Bible says in quotes, the foolishness of God, it's even difficult to say it, but Apostle Paul was making a point that it's wiser than men, or meaning that if God has not thought about it, it's still wiser than any man's thinking combined, all men on earth, their wisdom combined. So if the maximum good that the master and creator of the universe, the all-wise God had, was preaching, teaching, healing, then it means that you and I, to operate in the highest level of wisdom, we need to preach, teach, and heal.
Amen. Amen.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Then we began to talk about why preaching is important. And we said, number one, preaching is important because it attacks the root of man's problems. Man's problems originated from sin, and it attacks the root of man's problems. Am I preaching to somebody?
Yes.
It attacks it. We talked about that. Number two, because it releases the power of God. I don't think we talked about that yet.
No.
Wow, so we've been on number one. Why not? Our church, isn't
it?
Yeah. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is very powerful. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we ashamed?
No.
How many are ashamed? Let me prove it to you that sometimes I've been ashamed in the past and I said, no, I'm not going to be ashamed again. When you are in a restaurant or you are in the plane and you are praying in public.
Yeah,
don't shut me down now.
Yeah,
you are praying in public. Father God, as you are in a restaurant. Now, I don't care who it is. In the past, I'll be
bless, just quickly, Father God, bless this in Jesus' name. No, I take my time now. Restaurant, plane, wherever I am. In the past, removing your Bible in the plane and reading it. Now, I take it and I open it. Yes, so that you know who is there. Yeah. I've always said to myself, wow, if I'm in a plane, and the plane, because there was a time I was traveling to Tampa. Hey, small planes. The plane was shaking the way it shook. So I ask myself always, if the plane is going down because of some mechanical error like those planes, what will I do my last moment? Trust me, I'll not be trying to reach my family. My last moment is I'll be trying to find out who I can save in the plane.
That's
it. Last chance for salvation and for a reward in heaven. So I always said to myself that, what will I do? So I've planned, I've rehearsed the script in my mind. Wow. Oh, yeah. Of course, I'm not going down anytime soon, in Jesus' name. But I've rehearsed it. Ladies, I'll stand up. Ladies and gentlemen, give your life to Christ. You are going down hell. I'll preach the gospel and people, yes, 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 because they are about to die. We cannot be ashamed. It's rehearsed in my mind already.
Yeah.
Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. We serve God. Serve God. I want you to give your life to Christ now. Now, it's very important to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross. Meanwhile, the plane is going down. He died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross for our sins. His blood was shed for us. You are a sinner. I'm a sinner. Every one of us have sinned. But the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Give your life to Christ now. Believe that God, he died on the cross for your sins. His blood was shed for you. And you cannot stop sin without Jesus. And he rose from the dead.
Amen.
Who wants to say it? Say it now. Repeat after, hey, repeat after me. It's all rehearsed. Because I should not be ashamed of the gospel, especially when it's going down.
That's right.
But by the grace of God, it's not, no one, nothing is going down. Amen. Hey, I said by the grace of God, nothing is going down. It's only going up.
Amen.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Hey, because that plane that went down, it could easily have gone down in America if it hadn't gone down in where was it? Ethiopia. Where? Yeah. It would have gone down because it was just the fact that it went down there caused them to be grounded here.
That's right.
Because it was two incidents. So it could have happened here.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Easily. And all the things they are saying, it would have happened here.
Right.
Otherwise, they would not have even grounded the planes until they fix that thing. So it's a very valid thing. You and I must always be ready to, especially last minute, to say something, especially those who have not witnessed to anyone. And God has required that we must win the lost.
Amen.
And you are about to die. And you've not won a soul. When it's a command, go ye therefore. So rehearse all that in your mind in a critical time. Because it releases the power of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is so powerful that it saves the lost. The gospel is so powerful that it takes, imagine, David Saki is not this body. This body is a tent, a house. The Bible says that we live in a tent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when you read it, it talks about how we groan to be in our heavenly bodies, but we are in our earthly bodies. So David Saki is inside. How many get what I'm saying? So David Saki is inside this body. You understand? So if he's inside this body, whatever is outside the body doesn't matter. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the power of God unto salvation. So what? How more powerful is it when God is able to take David Saki, remove him, and put in a new David Saki, a new nature? The old David Saki with the heart, and Ezekiel prophesied it, the old David Saki with the heart of stone, the heart of sin, the heart that only wanted to sin. Oh, there was a time that I enjoyed sinning and I pursued it. It's different from those who are now where you are running from it, but I pursued it. I pursued girls. I pursued club. I pursued alcohol. I pursued cigarettes. I pursued the things I needed to pursue. It was a pursuit. And I indulged in it. So that was the old nature. The Holy Spirit came in, removed the old nature,
Amen.
Put in a new nature which does not want to do any of those things anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, the only alcohol. I used to have credit in off-license. Off-license in London, off-license is a liquor store. I had credit. They knew me. So I'll send one of the girls, go to the off-license and tell them David Saki wants a crate. And they'll give it on credit because I was regular there. They knew me there. Hey! But now, it's only communion. By the grace of God. There was a time I had Playboy Channel. When I was living with a girl. And you wouldn't dare argue it out. I had it. Full stop. No question. You can't. It's nothing you can do about it. I'm watching it anytime I need. Now, by the grace of God, by the mercy and grace of God, why? Because the power of God unto salvation, it's so powerful. So that's the preaching, but it's all coming from preaching and teaching. The preaching of the word is so powerful that it can convert someone. It can change somebody. You and I can change the old nature which wanted to do certain things and remove that and put in a new nature. The old nature, I knew how to lie. My kids, I tell them that you don't know how to lie because you're always caught in lies. You are easily caught. But I knew how to lie and wiggle my way out. But now, so that's the old nature. The new nature does not want to lie and will prefer to face the consequences than to lie.
That's right.
So what I do is, there's a way not to lie, but to avoid the question. You have to be smart and wise. Oh, so did you go here? Did you go here? I'm only saying because who knows who might be watching from work. But did you go here? I'll say, what do you mean? Yesterday I went here. But I'll say it such a way. So I didn't answer the, did you go here today? Yesterday I went here. You have to find a way to answer the questions well. So you won't lie. Or change the topic. I 99% of the time I change the topic. Because you don't, so that you are not caught in anything. If you are not feeling well, I don't just say I'm sick. I don't do that at work. I'm sick. If I wake up and I'm struggling or I'm not feeling well, even if I can move, but I'm not feeling well, it's true, I'm not feeling well. But if I'm able, it's hard for me to say I'm sick. But if I wake up and I can still go, but genuinely, I know in my heart that I'm not feeling well. I'll say it. Because I'm not lying. But that's because of the power of the gospel. Someone who loved lying and getting away with lies. Did all sorts of shady things in the past as a student, which could have wound me up in places I should not be in the streets of London, which I will not be able to say on the public. Hey, but the gospel, the power of the gospel has stopped it. There was a time in the past I did a number, I'll tell you in chambers. But there was a time I did certain things in London, and as a non-believer, I escaped. No one, no problem. This one is easy. There's no crime, nothing. I've just eluded financially certain companies. Hallelujah. In terms of take a low, whatever, you just leave. When I came to the United States, I mean, this one is a simple, one of the small ones. When I came to the United States, well, when I gave my life to Christ, came to the United States, it's only if you want to serve God, it's God who speaks to you. You got to pay. Got to pay. Then you wish you never did that because I paid every dime. Yeah. Because a new convert in Christ, a new creation. But I had to use wisdom in paying. I'll call them. The loan people, I called them in London. They were looking for me. I dodged them. No hope for finding me. I call you because God said call. I call you and I say, loan, whatever, loan. Loan, how many people, there's default loan and that's it. Loan, I call them. Hey, David, what's your name, your address? I give them. They said, wow, we've got you. I said, look, they said, we've got you now. Now you have to pay. I said, hey, listen, I called you. There was no way you could have found me.
That's right.
I called you. Now, I owe you X thousand. Let's say 10,000. I owe you £10,000. I can pay you £100, no, £50 a week, a month, and you can't do anything about it because I'm abroad. Nothing, because I called you. Or you can give me 60%, and I'll pay it immediately.
That's it.
60% paid immediately. Gotta use wisdom. Sometimes when you are dealing with, there was a lady who is, I'm talking about what the power of God can do. There was a lady who, you see, you have to learn how to speak to people. There was a lady who had overdrawn her account, and that bank, every day they charge you overdraft fee. So she owed maybe minus $3, and at the end she owed almost $200 because of continuous capture. So I said, let me talk to them. I told her what to do. She did it, but she didn't do it well. You can't be you don't get what you want. So I said, put me on. And I said, I know what they will do. So I said, quickly, just tell the person on the phone that you give David Saki permission so I don't waste the formalities. Yeah. So I give David Saki permission. Let me speak to your supervisor straight away. I don't want to talk to you. I told him that, look, this lady, she made a mistake and she's overdrawn. Now, this is second time occurrence. Now, what I want you to do is you either refund the money, all of it, and then she will pay that $2 or the account will go on. Will just bad debt. No, sorry, I think she owed about $100. Hallelujah, she owed $100. She had overdrawn $100 and it accumulated to like almost 300, because I know it was about 200. How many are getting me so far? So I told them, she would be able to pay the $100 now and you would refund all the money, or it would just be a bad debt situation. Make your choice. Went back and forth. They replaced every amount, refunded every amount apart from one. I was not able to beat that one, but $30 versus almost $200, that's a nice change.
Difference.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, why all this? Because of what the gospel did. Otherwise, it will not matter. We have to learn to do things the right way.
Amen.
But that was not my mindset before. I knew how to bypass. I can't say it. I knew how to bypass certain things. And yes, we'll go off camera soon and I'll tell you. Hallelujah. I learned some trades in the streets of London. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. Now, the law could not change people's minds, or medical research could not stop us from doing certain things. Our parents could not stop us from doing certain things. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. For example, our parents could not stop us from fornicating and just sleeping around. Mm-hmm. The fear of HIV and those things could not stop us from sleeping around. Mm-hmm. We're still sleeping around in spite of all those fears. But it is the power of God that can stop you from doing those things. Yes. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm talking about. It's the power of God that can stop you. Because the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes you from the inside. So that's why the Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is only the gospel that can save. It is only the gospel that can deliver. It is only the gospel that can heal. The gospel is the power of God that changes you from the inside. That changes your will. That changes your mind.
Amen.
In the past, my mind was all, I'm going to be someone who own hotels, own businesses, own hotels, apartments, own them. That was my focus. It was nothing more but than I'm going to own things. I'm going to be a millionaire, businessman. That is still an aim, but that aim can be it's so low that it can be booted by God anytime. So it was up here, now it is here in relation to God. Why? Because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you and I must allow the preaching to affect us. Because many people have baggage, excess baggage from the world. But the baggage only is released or is removed little by little through the word.
Amen.
Anytime we read the word of God, anytime we listen to the word of God just affects us little by little by little. How many are getting what I'm saying? Let me get. Good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So preaching always releases the power, and that power has the ability to change people. How many have been changed or affected by the gospel? That's why I said some time back or last week that if you are a born-again Christian and there has not been a change or a desire to stop lying or stop the thing you were doing before, you are not saved. You cannot be converted. I'm talking about at the point of salvation because his seed is in you. Jesus' seed is in you. God's seed is in you. And if his seed is in you, you cannot be doing it without wanting to stop. Or you cannot be desiring to do those things. In the past, I wanted to have sex with almost every nationality. Oh, yeah. That was a goal. I don't want to do that. Oh, by the grace of God. Because the Bible doesn't permit it.
That's right.
How many Christians would flow in a certain direction if the Bible permitted it?
Yes.
But if you are honest with yourself, the Bible will not support that. If the Bible supported that, trust me, many guys. Hey. The Bible says the time of David the king is your portion. Solomon. That's men. But the gospel smashes that out.
Right.
And it doesn't even become a thought process or something you want. Amen. But in the past, I would have wanted that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm not... did I say I'm a perfect person? I'm saved by grace. I said in the past.
That's right.
In the past.
Yeah.
I would have wanted that. Hey! The Bible says, you can. You just need to pray a certain prayer and you can have the time of David. But Jesus smashed that out. So
right.
Anyone thinking that way, It's not God, it's Satan. It's Satan.
That's right.
Satan. But it's the gospel that gives you the idea that it is out of bounds. It is the power of the gospel.
Yes.
Do you understand? It is the power of the gospel.
Yes.
That says that that is not an option. Do you see how the power of the gospel is?
Yes.
The power of the gospel. So if that has not happened and there is no change, that there is no desire to do the opposite towards God, because the Bible says that the carnal mind So, the gospel, I'm telling you, I'll say it again. If after conversion, the places you used to go to, the things you used to do, the things you used to like, you still like them, you still go there, and there has not been a change, I question your salvation. If the Holy Spirit is in you and I, and David said, I prefer to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. If the Holy Spirit of God is in you and I, we would make church would be a place. You always be eager to go to church.
That's right.
It's because not everyone is like that. That we time we stick to time. Yeah. In the Bible, they were not sticking. Those things were not there. We'll continue. If we have to go home, then we go home. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 40, 41, 42, 43. So what I'm saying is that if the Holy Spirit is in us, we will want to come to church.
Amen.
Even if we are not able to because of circumstances in our heart, it's like, oh man, I really wanted to go to church, but I can't. I'm tired. I really wanted to go to church. Oh, I can't because of work. I'm not saying, I'm talking about someone who is free, relaxed at home. This church thing. Or someone who is the Holy Spirit, you have to question whether the Holy Spirit is in you. That's different from if you are going through something and the devil is bombarding you and you are allowing it. The Holy Spirit can be in you strongly, but you are just allowing the devil to have a field day and discourage you and corner you. I'm not talking about that. There are differences. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because what the devil likes to do is to isolate. But we are not talking about isolation. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Verse 46. And they continued monthly.
No.
And they continued quarterly.
No.
And they continued daily. 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 That's what I'm saying. If the power of the gospel has entered into you, to one accord in the church, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And what happened as a result? Praising God and having favor. Favor at work. Favor where you are going. Having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. As a result of the daily. But we don't do daily. But the model church was daily. There was one of the members who said that his father or mother said that, what kind of church is this? This is a cult. What kind of church is this that you meet twice a week? And you spend Sundays, you spend a long time in church on Sundays after church, because we have shepherd's meetings, we have these meetings, we have those meetings, and we meet another weekday, and then every other day, week, half night. What kind of church is this? Is the question?
That's right.
Yeah. So many people don't read the Bible and they criticize things the Bible says we should do.
Yeah.
But I said, when the gospel of Jesus Christ has entered into you, the gospel of the power of God, that power would convert you and I and would change our hearts, change our focus, change our desires. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of the gospel is so strong that it converts. So if you are here or you are watching and you don't have that desire for God, I encourage you to pray that God has mercy on you and helps you.
Amen.
Wow. Look at John 8, 31, 32. Because this is not just for QFC or UD people. Some people who are watching are not in our church. But I'm talking to you also for your church. It's the Christian duty to desire not just church, but God. Because you can have people who are in church who don't know God or care for God. They are in church because it's a society, a social gathering, or a place where we can meet Africans or feel comfortable. Those are third reasons, fourth reasons. Or we meet blacks. We are Africans, African Americans. We just meet. No, it's more than that. It must be. I'm going to church because something has happened in the inside that is just coming out on the outside. I'm reading my Bible because something has happened in the inside that is bubbling out on the outside. I'm praying every day because something has happened in the inside that is bubbling out on the outside. What matters is our relationship with God more than church. Nevertheless, your relationship with God would encourage you to go to church because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So then said Jesus to the church folk, because to those Jews which believed on him. Now, you and I are Christians because we believe in Jesus Christ. Yes. The Bible says that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Yes. So Christians are disciples of Jesus. And Jesus said, for you to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. So many people, anyway, I'll preach that another time. Hallelujah. So then Jesus said to those Jews or Christians in the church, am I preaching to somebody? In the past, we are getting warming up. Right now, we have to have some good meat.
That's right.
Good push, good encouragement.
Amen.
No more. Yes, after this, we'll preach a few more and then name it. The preacher, name it, claim it, taken already. Yeah. Yes, can do man. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. So there's a Christian, and then there is the Christian who is continuing in his word. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Then you are my disciples indeed. So let's even wait for the... Let's not even go to verse 32 yet. So what it says is that there are people who believe in Jesus, and there are people who believe, I believe in Jesus, but they are not continuing in the word of God. And there are others who are believers, but are continuing in his word. Jesus is saying that the ones who are truly my disciples are the ones who are continuing in my word after believing. So there's a difference here. Now, there are some who are Christians and will remain in all their problems. Financial problems will not change. Sin problems will not change. Depression, whatever, the list, all the problems will not change, even though they are Christians. But let me tell you what verse 32 says for those who continue. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free from the problems. Glory. The truth shall make you free from sin. Amen. The truth shall make you free from the problems you are struggling with. Amen. The financial problems, the heartache, the bondage, the addictions.
Amen.
The truth shall make you free. But the truth only makes you free after you have believed and are continuing.
Yes.
But if you believe and you are not continuing, we don't have a support for you to be made free here. It's not written here. You can't find that here. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. So the gospel must affect our lives.
Amen.
Number three. Okay. Oh, before number three, Psalm 107 verse 20. The word of God. Oh, glory to Hallelujah. God. The people, when you read the preceding verses, the people of God had fallen into sin, had forgotten God. When you read Judges, God would deliver the people, God would bless them, they would be prosperous, and then they would forget about God. They would start serving other gods, and the Bible says God will sell them to the enemy or allow the enemy to attack them, and then only so that they can cry back to him for him to send judges and deliver them, and then they'll worship him. All God wants is that, look, we have a relationship with him. Whatever it takes to get that relationship because of his love, he will do. And sometimes I see it in when you are relating with children. When you love your children, you sometimes allow them to experience certain pain. Sometimes I tell her that because I love you and because I want you to understand this principle for your own good, I'm going to allow you to experience a certain difficulty. Yeah. It's all related. But I try not to do it too much so that God will not also do that to me. Too much. That's why there are times that I say, okay, it's okay. Because I don't. So the people were foreclosing. High time for closure rates. The repossession of cars. Divorce court judge. What's the divorce court judge?
Linton.
Judge Linton.
Lintola.
Judge Lintola. She was busy. She needed to hire other people. And then diseases. The cancer ward, the oncology wards were full. Diabetes wards full. Hypertension wards full. And they cried to God. God, save us. Amen. And the Bible says, and he sent his word.
Amen.
And his word delivered them. And healed them. And delivered them from their distractions. So many times we are praying, oh God, help me in this problem. I'm struggling with this problem. God, save me. I'm drowning.
Amen.
And then God sends his word. I'm drowning financially. Help me. And then God sends his word.
Oh, yes.
Frugality.
Amen.
God sends his word. Oh, nice message. Wow. They did not continue. And therefore, nothing changed. There was a time I went for a meeting. Bishop has been talking about it in his messages. I went for a meeting. I heard about a particular thing. You were in that meeting. I heard about that particular thing. I said, hey, I must continue immediately. And I continued immediately, and I took action, and the action has borne fruit. If you don't act immediately and continue, zero results. By the grace of God.
Amen.
You have to act.
Yes.
Gotta act, though. Romans 15:4. I'll start this one. We'll continue, God willing. So Romans chapter 15, verse 4. That's why the Bible says, it's not the hearers only, but the doers of the word. The doers of the word. The Bible says, pay tithe, the doers of the word. The doers. The Bible says, give. The Bible says, love. The Bible says, forgive. The Bible says, don't lie. Because when you lie, you are identifying with the father of lies. Don't lie. Anytime there are a lot of lies, demonic activity is high, at an all-time high.
Mm.
If you are in a marriage and there are a lot of lies in the marriage, the demonic activity in the marriage is at an all-time high.
Mm.
Yeah. If you are with family members or you are with anyone, that's why those I'm close to, I always tell them, when you lie, you are spoiling the relationship.
That's right.
It's better for me to be angry because there are times that I can be angry and I'll go off. It's better than lying. Right. Because me going off keeps the relationship.
Yeah.
Because right after going off, we are even closer. Versus lying and Satan just spoiling the relationship.
Right.
So many Christians, we need to be doers of the word. I won't lie.
Amen.
I will love. I will work hard. The Bible says, when you are working at work, work hard for your boss as if you are working for Christ because you are serving the Lord Christ. Work hard at work.
Amen.
Work hard.
Amen.
Don't be deceptive. Pay your tithe. Do good. Don't sin. Try your best to do all of them. Take them. Okay, I fought this battle. I lied a lot. I was a chronic liar. I've stopped lying. Tick. I drink alcohol. I've stopped drinking. Tick. I'm into pornography. I've stopped. Tick. I'm always angry and slandering. Tick. I gossip a lot. Tick. List them. Tick them. Smash them out. You realize that you are now becoming a doer of the word. Things are changing. And then once you are struggling with, God will give you grace to stop them.
Amen.
We need to. We need to keep fighting. Yes, I've fought lies, so I've fought this problem 1,000 times. I'm not dead yet, so 1,001, I'll continue
Amen.
To fight it. I've fought it 2,000 times. We are not dead. So long as there's life, 2,001, we'll keep fighting till we find it, we finish it off. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the next one. Preaching of the word gives hope.
Amen.
People come to church discouraged sometimes. The word of God is to give hope. Even this thing I'm preaching, it should be giving hope at the end of the day.
Amen.
But it shouldn't be just, fat, and then hope. No, we must be challenged. The Bible says that a time will come that people will not endure sound doctrine. But reprove, rebuke, and exhort.
Yes.
So the exhortation and the feel good is 1/3 of the instruction
That's
for pastors.
Right. That's right.
But number one, rebuke
yes.
or reprove. Let's get that and we'll come to this. So that, yeah, go. Clap for the man.
Wonderful.
Clap for him. 2 Timothy 4:2. Yes.
Amen.
Preach the word.
Hallelujah.
Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. That's happening now. Many churches have rewritten 2 Timothy 4:3 or 2 to say where is that? Let's go to 2 Timothy 4:2. exhort with all long suffering and patience. That's all. But who gives me and you, who gives the pastor the right to do that when the Bible says this? Yeah. There are some places no need to. Oh, you are fine. Everything is beautiful. Everything is fine. You don't need to do anything. You just need to come. God has given. Yes, God has given. But what about what the Bible says? Because when you only are told about the good things, when you are at work and you do your performance review, and they tell you, yes, you got a 5, or like exceeds expectation, or exceedingly exceeds expectations. And so you've got that. And then they say, what are the improvements? No improvements. They have not helped you. You stay there at that level and always get a 5. You move up. But they need to be able to say, this you need to work on, Number two, you need to work on this. Number three, you need to work on that. Even though you have a five, these are improvements so that those improvements will take you to the next level of promotion. That's what God wants us to do. Reprove. Look at NLT. Preach the word of God. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 15:4. And then 5 minutes more. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Look at it in NLT. So without a doubt, hope comes from the word of God.
Amen.
Hope comes from preaching. Hope comes from the Bible. Because the Bible is saying such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. They give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. Look at it in Amplified. So the more we expose ourselves to the preaching, the more hope we have. But realize that the more hope you have, the more you have the opportunity to convert it to faith. Because without hope, you cannot have faith. Because faith takes hope and converts it to now. And I have.
Amen.
Faith gives hope, assurance, and substance. Right. But if you have little hope, how are you going to build a big faith with little hope? You need big hope so you can have big faith. For what you first need to grasp that it exists for you to have faith in it. If I don't hope, if I've not read the Bible to hope for something, how will I have faith for it when faith is based on the word and I don't have the word to hope? For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. Many will receive hope through the word. As the word comes to people, discouragement and hopelessness are driven away.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This world has no hope. Oh, this world. This world. What are the things we hear about in this world? Disaster. When you read the statistics about the cancer, X, when you read, in the year 20, whatever, X people will be diagnosed with cancer, and X will die from it. The financial crisis. I was talking to a realtor and she said that they have a feeling that it's going to get bad again. There could, in fact, during the time of the Antichrist or before the Antichrist, there's going to be a very terrible downturn in finances. Then he will pick it up and then God will smash it down and bring darkness to the Antichrist seat. How many are getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what the world says to us. Financially. The stocks. When you look at your 401k and the stocks, I've looked at it from 2014 or 15. It just keeps going. Doesn't go. It's just oscillating. Look at what happened in the financial crisis where people lost hundreds of thousands, some people millions, hundreds of 50,000, 60,000. There's no hope. The worst enemy that came and said, look, you are finished. There's nothing you can do was death. But Jesus smashed death.
Amen.
Jesus defeated death and took the keys of death and hell.
Amen.
And took the keys of hell and took Abraham's bosom to heaven. So hope, many people are devoid of hope because they are devoid of preaching. That's why the podcast.
Yes.
Yes. That's why the podcast, there's a lot of hope. I said there's a lot of hope when Bishop is preaching, when we are reading the Bible, when we are having audio Bible, when we are listening to his word, God's word, we are listening to Bishop's messages, the Makane, the podcast, listening to preaching, your pastor preaching, I'm preaching, whatever, we are soaking it in. Hope is overflowing.
Amen.
You know that tomorrow, God willing, there's a chance. You know that tomorrow there is hope. That's if you open your heart. Because you can come to church every week, but you're not open your heart and no hope will come. Only sadness. The sadness will not go. The pain will not go because you've not opened your mind and your heart to the word. When I say you, just say it means we. Because it's not you. You is we. Remember that. Because I'm just, the Bible says the high priest is taken from among men. So I'm from among the men in the church, and I'm just being asked to speak to us.
Amen.
The preacher is the one who gets more blessed with it from his message. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's very important to allow hope to flow in our hearts.
Amen.
Because hope only comes from the scriptures. Now, hope, lack of hope. Look at surprise, I ain't reading it here. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So anytime there is hope, desire, hope, hope for something, then it's like life. New life has entered. New zeal has entered. But anytime there is no hope, hope is postponed. Hope is deferred. It makes the heart sick. What does that mean? Depression.
Yeah.
So any medicine will say hope is depression is a chemical imbalance. They've done the study, so good. But whatever the balance is or the study is still a lack of hope.
Right.
Hallelujah. It's still a lack of hope. So you and I must get more of the word in. If I see someone who has no hope, I see someone who has no word. If I see someone who is full of the word, I'll see someone who cannot be cannot have lack of hope.
Amen.
But will be full of hope.
Amen.
The more the word, the more hope. The less the word, the less hope. But when the Bible comes and says that it is well with your soul, when the Bible comes and says that, look, tomorrow is going to be well.
Amen.
Things are getting better because
Amen.
The Lord is on the throne. Amen. When the Bible says that in his time, he makes all things beautiful. I remember one of these days, one of our members was believing God for a child for many years. And we prayed together. And when God gave this lady and her husband the babies, the twins, the message I preached at their dedication was, in his time, he makes all things beautiful.
Amen.
In his time.
Amen.
In his time.
Amen.
Hope. So you and I must get hope from the Bible. That's the only way hope comes. The preaching of the word. And because Satan does not want us to have hope, he fights us hearing the Bible. So it's not just coming to church. Come to church, but saturate yourself with the word. Take the podcast. Listen to Bishop. He's our father. He's the one God has given to us to bless us. When you, in fact, I don't need to say too much. When you listen to it and see whether what I'm saying is not true.
Yeah.
Taste and see. Hallelujah. And be. You see, those who listen to the podcast all the time, because the Bible says God will give us pastors after his own heart. who shall feed us with knowledge and understanding. And Bishop is actually the pastor. He just can't multiply himself all over the world. He's actually the pastor. So if we are able to get God to speak to us through Bishop or your pastor, but even with your pastor, soaking in the podcast so that the pastor God gave you, the original pastor God gave you, of course, that's Jesus Christ, but the sub-pastor Jesus Christ gave us, who is Bishop, the knowledge and understanding would enter into us. I don't know anyone who listens to his word, his messages a lot, who has not had a change in their lives. Yeah. And you see hope coming. Hey, I said hope is coming.
Amen.
Hope is coming in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Just surrender to Christ. Allow the preaching and the teaching to affect you and I, and we'll be surprised what God will do. God will do marvelous things in our lives. I said, look, God will do marvelous things in our lives.
Amen.
God would surprise us. Look,
amen.
I said, God, a day will come that God will surprise us. I'm still waiting for the surprise.
Amen.
I'm seeing traces of it, but God will surprise us.
Amen.
I said, God will surprise
Amen.
Us. This is a year of a series of victories.
Amen.
But let's allow the preaching and the teaching and the healing to affect us so that the series of victories will be definite. Shall we stand to our feet to continue God's word?
Oh,
God, we give you praise. Let's speak to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless his word in our lives. Oh, yes. Speak to the Lord. Lord, give myself and each and every one of us the hearts to get more into the preaching and the teaching of your word. We want to get more into your word, the preaching, the teaching. Give us the grace to hear your word, to speak your word, to listen to your word, to read your word, to expose ourselves to the preaching of your word, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Oh, just bless the Lord. Bless his name. Give him glory. Give him honor in his house. Oh, yes. 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 Let's just sing all to Jesus, I surrender, before we pray. To Jesus, I surrender all. To him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all to be my blessed Savior. I surrender all. For the last time, I surrender all.
surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. If you are here this afternoon, or you are watching this afternoon or morning, wherever you are, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way. I don't even know where I'll go to when I die. If I die today, I don't know what will happen to my soul. I'm full of sin. I'm struggling. But I want God to take away my sin. If you feel that way and you feel helpless and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. If you feel that way, please lift your hands high up and I'll pray with you. Very good. If you are watching also, you can lift your hands where you are and repeat after me, because the greatest miracle is not healing of cancer or even the raising of the dead, but it is the new birth experience. When God takes a soul and removes the heart, then the old nature, and puts in a new nature, that is the greatest miracle. If you want to experience the greatest miracle, then repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. I believe in Jesus Christ. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. From today, I belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Father God, we bless those who've surrendered to Jesus. Bless them and grant them favor and peace in Jesus' name. Amen.